Good evening and happy Easter. Sorry to disappoint you if you're expecting a nice or a feel-good homily this evening, because you're probably not going to get that. But that's okay, because if you walk out of this church every week feeling really good about yourself, probably you're not getting the gospel. The choice to be Christian is really about following Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. It's not really about following rules. Yet, the way that we know that we remain in him is by keeping his commandments. I think sin is really best understood in terms of relationship. You know, we're supposed to love God and to love one another just as Jesus commanded us. The problem with sin is that it really damages or destroys our relationship with God. Sin either restricts the flow of sap to the branch, or it cuts it off completely. And when it comes to sins that we commit, really there are two kinds. There is mortal sin and there is venial sin. And this distinction, just for the record, is found directly in sacred scripture. I know that some people out there like to act like the Catholic Church is not a church of the Bible or a church of sacred scripture, when in fact, basically everything that we believe is found directly in sacred scripture. Any willful thought or desire, word, action, or omission which is forbidden by the law of God is a sin. That is, it puts distance between us and God. It damages our relationship with him. A mortal sin is a grievous offense against God. It's called mortal or deadly precisely because it destroys the supernatural life of the soul, a supernatural life which was received at the sacrament of baptism. Mortal sin takes away our right to heaven and makes the soul deserving of everlasting punishment in hell. This is pretty basic stuff, but it turns out that in life, the most important things are also the most basic things, because it's from the basic things that we build on the rest. So if we have an error at the beginning on the stuff that's truly fundamental, on the stuff that's truly foundational, then we'll end up way off course at the end. In order for a sin to be mortal, there's three conditions that must be met together. If any one of these things is lacking, then it's not a mortal sin. It's still a sin, but it's not mortal. It doesn't destroy the supernatural life of the soul. The first condition that's necessary is that the thought or the desire or the word or the action must be grievously sinful. The second thing that is necessary is that the sinner must be mindful of the serious wrong when he commits the sin. And third and finally, the sinner must deliberately choose that evil. That is, it has to be a personal choice. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you sleepwalk and accidentally break an expensive vase or something like that, it's not sufficiently free to really be a personal choice. You're just sleepwalking, although the vase is still broken. If we do something and all three of those boxes are checked, so to speak, then we have committed a mortal sin. It really is actually that simple. You know, when I mention mortal sin or confession to people, oftentimes I'll get a reaction that's this or similar to this. Well, Father, I haven't killed anyone. Okay, that's really good. And it is really good that you haven't killed anyone. That's great, actually. Please don't kill anyone. Yet, we act as though sometimes murder is the only mortal sin that we can possibly commit. And at the end of the day, if you haven't killed someone, okay, good, we've taken care of maybe half of one commandment, and I'm rounding up. Even a deliberate thought can be a mortal sin. You know, our Lord says in sacred scripture, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And he also says, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You know, the thing that our Lord God isn't only concerned with our external actions. God is concerned also with our hearts. And we can defile our hearts with thoughts. I hear some people talking about others and sometimes it's within the church about certain bishops, sometimes it's about politicians, and the way that I hear them talking, it's like, wow, it seems that your heart is really filled with a kind of animosity and, dare I say, hatred, and how poisonous that is to the soul and to our hearts. Certainly these days, some, even many Catholics, think that they are somehow above committing a mortal sin. This simply is not true. The great mystic and doctor of the church, St. Teresa of Avila, said, and I quote, "We must dread mortal sin and pray God to deliver us from it." And if this holy woman was praying God to deliver her from mortal sin, certainly I think we all ought to be praying God to deliver us from mortal sin too. After all, this is one of the holiest people in history. And I will certainly take her at her word and dread mortal sin and pray to be delivered from it. None of us are above committing a mortal sin. This idea that, you know, somehow we're all angels or saints or something like that, it's really quite ridiculous if you have any familiarity at all with the lives of the saints. And frankly, I think this is an idea which is demonic. Now, if it is true that way more than just murder is grievously sinful, you know, the question presents itself, what kind of thoughts or desires, words, actions, or omissions are gravely sinful? This is an important question because really it's the first box, quote unquote, that we have to check in order to have committed a mortal sin. Certainly, I cannot list them all, even if we had time for that, because frankly, my imagination just isn't that good. But what we'll do is just kind of hit the highlights running through the Ten Commandments. You know, things like using tarot cards, Ouija boards, or participating in seances, or really any kind of stuff like that, really bad news. And it is grievously sinful. And frankly, that stuff is all satanic. Now, that's not to say that everyone who's involved in those sorts of things is aware that it's satanic, but it's still attempting to acquire information or gain power in a way that has not been ordained by God. How about expressing contempt or hatred for God, also known as blasphemy? In ordinary times, and I will stress this, in ordinary times, right now we have COVID going around, and that's not ordinary at all. But in ordinary times, skipping Mass on Sunday or other holy days of obligation without really a really grave reason for doing so, that's a grave sin. And if we do so knowing that that's wrong and aware of what we're doing, then we've committed a mortal sin. Now, again, this is during ordinary times, and we are decidedly not in ordinary times, and we have not been in ordinary times since March 13th, 2020. Children disobeying their parents' just command in a serious matter, grave matter. Children neglecting their parents in old age, that's also gravely sinful. Murder, of course. Hatred, wishing someone were in hell. Gravely injuring someone, drinking or using recreational drugs to the point of losing our ability to reason. Any sin of impurity is gravely sinful, even if it's only indulging in impure thoughts. As I said, our Lord is very clear. Anyone who looks on a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery with her. A lie which causes serious harm, or a lie told under oath, also known as perjury, that's gravely sinful. That's sort of the short list of the most common grave sins. You know, that's the first box. Any of the above things done while knowing the sinful character of the act and also done deliberately is a mortal sin, and it does cause the death of the soul. It extinguishes the supernatural life which is in our soul. One single mortal sin is enough to destroy our friendship with God. And if we die in a state of mortal sin, we will go to hell. You know, what the church teaches is actually very, very clear, and it's not complicated. It's not rocket science. We don't need to have degrees in moral theology in order to commit mortal sins or to know what the church teaches. That's not necessary. Jesus just said it plainly enough. If anyone does not remain in me, anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. That's a pretty good description of hell, being severed from the vine, from the life-giving vine who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and being burned. The good news is that, and there is good news, the good news is that there is the possibility of mercy as long as we are alive on this earth. As long as we're alive on this earth, we're still attached to the vine, and through the sacrament of confession, even if we have died, God can and He will restore our supernatural life. And that's pretty good news, to make use of God's mercy like that, that God is that merciful. I often reflect on the fact that if our Lord had just come and the only sacrament that He had given us was the sacrament of baptism, and we only had one shot in life, we only had the opportunity of having sanctifying grace given to our soul one time, that would be enormously merciful. But the fact that our Lord will restore us again and again and again, as often as we repent of the sins that we commit through the sacrament of confession, that He'll restore that supernatural life to our soul, even after we've extinguished it for the 100th or the 1,000th time, I mean, God's mercy is truly unfathomable. All we have to do is make use of it. And we do well, we do very well to make use of it now. If we're conscious of having committed a grave sin, a mortal sin, and we haven't made a good confession since committing that sin, we need to repent. And we need to repent right now. You know, we're not promised tomorrow. The only thing that really we have is right now. I remember just a few years ago, there was one morning where Kobe Bryant woke up and went to Mass. And he was, in fact, a Catholic, and he did go to Mass that morning. And then, unexpectedly, here's a man, perfectly healthy, gets in a helicopter, and next thing you know, that's it. Crash, he's dead. No one, it doesn't matter how healthy we are, it doesn't matter what we think, no one is guaranteed tomorrow. The time to get right with God, the time to make use of the sacrament of mercy, is right now, is today. Not to put it off until tomorrow or some other time. We need to repent right now. We need to go to confession because confession is the only ordinary means by which a Christian conscious of grave sin is reconciled with God and has that supernatural life of the soul restored to him or to her. This is what our Catholic faith teaches, and this is a saving truth. God love you all and keep the faith.